produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Everyone, this is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It's great to be back with you once again, and we've had a wonderful weekend with the celebration of the national holiday known as Thanksgiving. With family and with friends coming in from out of town, it's just been a glorious weekend, and it's just wonderful to be able to have these kinds of experiences. In our last live program, we talked a little bit about this month of November, and how I had taken it upon myself to take each day and label it a day of gratitude and to establish a particular theme or topic that related to that particular day. And in our last program, we had gotten up through, I think, about the 17th of the month, which means that in this program, we'll talk briefly about the remainder of November, which is now, as they say, it's in the history books. But it's been a great month, and it's been a wonderful experience to have this exercise, if you will, of going through and identifying specific things and events and people and circumstances, and to publicly express my gratitude and thankfulness for those things throughout this month of November. Now, The last date of the 17th, I was talking about our Savior Jesus Christ, His atonement and the sacrament, and expressed that I was eternally grateful that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made it possible through His atonement for each of us to return to our Father in heaven. I am thankful that Jesus instituted the sacrament as a reminder of His great atoning sacrifice. I'm grateful that because of His love for each of us and His willingness to be obedient to His Father's will, He subjected Himself to the agony of Gethsemane, where He took upon Himself our sins, endured the humiliation of arrest, trial, scourging, and ultimate death on the cross. I am thankful that He overcame death and was resurrected so that each of us could do so as well and have eternal life. Because of His great vicarious gift on behalf of all who would ever live upon the earth, I am and will be eternally grateful. Now, a week ago, I had the opportunity to serve as a panelist with an interfaith group that we meet every 3 months. And in the group, we have representatives of various faiths, including Islam, the Jewish faith, as well as Christianity. And our topic this last meeting, Sunday of a week ago, was the topic of the historical Jesus. And as I prepared for the panel discussion, I did some research about through Wikipedia and other sources, more reliable sources, if you will, about what the scholars thought of the historical Jesus. And I was a bit surprised at how many of the so-called scholars questioned so much about who Jesus Christ really was. There seemed to be evidence and validation that Jesus had been baptized by his cousin, and that a man named Jesus had been crucified by the Romans. But beyond that, there was nothing much that history could tell us about Jesus other than what is recorded in the Gospels. And in reading the statements of the various scholars, if you will, there were a lot of doubts and questions even presented as to the veracity of the Gospels as found in the Bible. And I thought it was interesting, as I went to this panel, I was hearing conversations about from the panel members about Jesus the man, a teacher, a rabbi. But I realized very quickly that no one in the group was talking about the Jesus that I know, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Redeemer. I emphasize that, Jesus the Christ. And so as the Spirit prompted me in my panel discussion conversation with the audience, I talked about that and emphasized that and bore my testimony that I knew and that I know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and that through his atoning sacrifice, all of us may return to be with our Father in heaven. I was asked to give the opening prayer for that session, and I talked about in that prayer how each of us there that day and each of us throughout all of humanity are literal brothers and sisters. We are the spirit offspring of a heavenly Father. And so as a result, I just felt impressed to share my testimony with that audience about Jesus being the Messiah, Jesus being the Christ, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. So as this month has progressed from our last live recording, the next day of the 18th, talked a little bit about free enterprise and the importance of our economic system here in America and the amazing benefits that that system has given to the financial community strength for us as a nation, and shared the thought of, let us continue to teach others how to fish and not create a system of dependency by always just feeding others a fish. I am grateful that I've been able to experience being an entrepreneur myself. And so gratitude day number 18 was about free enterprise. And then as we move to the 19th of November, an interesting event occurred in 1863 on that day. 156 years ago, President Abraham Lincoln gave his great Gettysburg Address. And it's interesting that in his preparation and the delivery of that, he knew that we would long remember the events that occurred there, but would probably not long remember what was said there. And obviously, we have those immortal words of Abraham Lincoln that we find in the Gettysburg Address. And, where he says, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth. I am thankful to live in America and pray that we as a nation never forget that we are one nation under God. On the 20th, Day of Gratitude, I talked about the house of the Lord. It just happened that on that particular day, my wife and I were able to enter into the Memphis, Tennessee temple, where we participated in sacred ordinances. And I was mindful of the fact that the Memphis temple is only one of 160 currently operating temples in the entire world. Now, I understand that as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there are over 16 million members worldwide in about 139 different countries with over 30,000 congregations.
So since temples are for very special ordinances that are only done in the temple, we're very fortunate in the Memphis area to have a temple, and we live literally just 2 minutes away from the temple. And so it's very unique and very special that those of us in the greater Memphis area are blessed to have one of only 160 temples in the entire world. A wonderful experience that day, and it's great that our temple has now been rededicated and reopened after many months of renovations. Now, on the 21st day of gratitude, I talked about community and interfaith relations. And as I went back and looked through a lot of pictures and events that have occurred over the last period of time, I was surprised to see how many different church experiences I've had of going to other people of other faith and sharing with them my testimony about the restored gospel, our involvement in the community with Boys for Tots and Feeding the Hungry and a multitude of other service projects, Saving Lost Kids, and the joy and the benefit of interacting with other people of other faiths and with other charitable organizations and having that experience of building bridges of friendship and understanding have proven to be exceptionally rewarding to me, and I feel very blessed that I've had those experiences. Now, on the 22nd, of course, we moved into another category where I was very thankful to talk about the restored gospel of Jesus Christ and how through selected apostles and prophets, a restoration of the Lord's true church had occurred. And a quote here from Joseph Smith with regard to his love and affiliation with his brother Hiram, who were both martyred in the Carthage jail. He said, "I could pray in my heart that all my brethren were like unto my beloved brother Hiram, who possesses the mildness of a lamb and the integrity of a Job, and in short, the meekness and humility of Christ. And I love him with that love that is stronger than death." Truly prophetic words spoken by the prophet Joseph Smith. As we move through the month, then of course the next day was 23rd. And on the 23rd, I had the opportunity to talk about the relationship of having friends. And I've been very blessed over the years to get to know a lot of people, to develop friendships. And it's in those relationships that become endearing experiences and a love for one's fellow man and one's fellow sister, if you will. And so as a consequence, as I reflected upon great friendships past, current, and yet to come, I'm very thankful and very mindful of those relationships and friendships. As I looked at a picture or two of a collage, if you will, of that was done some 6 years ago, I realized there were several pictures representing individuals who have passed away during this last 6 years. And that caused pause to be even more mindful of friends still living and maintaining those relationships and not taking them for granted. On the 24th, I talked about being grateful for a great, powerful army of, if you will, God's army. In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there are currently over 100,000 missionaries worldwide, 65,000 full-time missionaries, and another 38,000 church service missionaries. And in our time here in the Memphis area, we've gotten to know literally thousands of missionaries representing the Lord here in the Arkansas Little Rock Mission. So I express my gratitude for their service and their sacrifice over these many years. On the 25th, I reminisced a little bit about the joy that I've had over the years of being able to travel to Utah and to renew those relationships with many of those missionaries who had served here, who have now returned home, and many have married, and I've been able to attend their temple ceilings, have gone on to have children and families, and maintain those relationships over the years, as well as people who have lived in areas where we've lived, in Louisville and here in Memphis, who have moved back to Utah or who have moved to Utah, and where we've been able to maintain those relationships and friendships. It's always a great joy to go to Utah to renew those friendships, to participate in special events such as General Conference, to go to performances of the Tabernacle Choir, and to enjoy many of the other historic sites and religious experiences that are available there at our church headquarters in Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, on the 26th of the month, we talked about the tender mercies of the Lord. And I'm very thankful for the reality of the tender mercies of the Lord. For years, I would be amazed at how often I would think of someone or something, and that almost immediately I would receive a phone call or a visit or have an experience that seemed to be more than just a coincidence. And in April of 2005, at our annual general conference at the church, one of the 12 apostles, Elder David A. Bednar, the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, delivered a message entitled "The Tender Mercies of the Lord," wherein he described his personal experience and understanding of the tender mercies of the Lord, as found in Holy Scripture in the Book of Mormon in 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 20. I still vividly remember how much of a personal impact I felt that day as I received a confirmation from the Spirit as to the profound yet simple truth of his message. For me, it was as if the heavens had opened and I had received divinely inspired revelation. In the years since that day, I have observed and am grateful that each and every day I have been blessed with his tender mercies. I testify that I have personally observed and experienced the following pattern. First, recognize when an experience is indeed a tender mercy moment and not just a coincidence. Secondly, acknowledge that experience and give thanks to Heavenly Father. And then third, when prompted by the Spirit, share those experiences with others, not to brag, but to build testimonies. And I have found that in following this pattern, I have discovered that tender mercy experiences occur more frequently and that they are often more intense. I truly am so happy and grateful for the tender mercies of the Lord. On the 27th of this month, gratitude day number 27, I talked about family and faith, and expressed my gratitude for my wife, who I've been married to now. We've been married for 48 years. For our wonderful children and their spouses, as well as my parents, who nurtured me to have faith in God and His Son. And I also express gratitude for my grandfather, Mordecai Ham, as well as my great-grandfather, Dr. John Richard Sampey, both spiritual giants who, in reading their sermons and listening to some of their messages, even though I did not know my great-grandfather in life, these messages have inspired me and have helped me to deepen my faith in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. I truly love my family and pray that they will continue to be blessed by our Heavenly Father, and that each one will continue to know and seek and serve the Lord. Of course, we had a little conversation with a repeat program about cultivate within our hearts an attitude of gratitude, and talked about the importance of having that attitude of gratitude. And then we came to gratitude day number 28. And ironically, on the exact same date, on November 28, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed that day as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelt in heaven. And I expressed my gratitude that we might be mindful of the sacrifice made then to preserve our nation. And may we strive to unite ourselves together so that America may long endure in the earth. On the gratitude day number 29, of course, had a little bit of a humor with a little play on the acronym TGIF, where I talked about Thanksgiving goodies in fridge, TGIF, Thanksgiving goodies in fridge, the leftovers after Thanksgiving. We certainly enjoyed those and continued to have shared some of those even over the weekend with some family and friends. And then, of course, November the 30th, well, also on the 29th, I discovered that on that date just a year ago, the Angel Moroni statue was lifted up and mounted on the then still under construction and renovation, the Memphis, Tennessee Temple, and posted a video of that event and talked about how, despite some major setbacks in the construction schedule because of weather, that we referred to it as the Memphis Miracle, as the completion of the temple actually occurred on time, barely, which allowed for the open house that occurred in April of 2019 this year, where over 10,000 visitors experienced the beauty and majesty of the house of the Lord. And then, of course, on May the 5th of 2019 this year, as scheduled many months prior, once again, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ came to Memphis, Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, who was able to rededicate the Memphis Temple. Truly a remarkable experience all the way around between the open house and the temple dedication. And so then on Gratitude Day 30, I used that opportunity to refer back to the entire month, talking about each and every day and the specific things that I was grateful for throughout the month. So we are now in December, and as we are approaching another great holiday that we refer to not just as Happy Holidays, but a very special occasion as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, as we prepare for Christmas, there's a lot that we'll talk about in the upcoming programs. But I wanted to take the last few moments here to share a story. And it was shared on Facebook by a good friend of mine out of Texas who used to live in Memphis, a good gentleman by the name of Curtis Rasmussen. And it's an interesting story, and I'll take a few moments to read this. He says, as he shared this story, it goes as follows. A father on his deathbed asked his only child, a son, to come visit him for one last time. Upon his arrival, and though gravely ill, the father greeted his son with an unusual request. Granddad gave me this 285-year-old pocket watch. It's in mint condition, and it still works. I'm going to give it to you, but before I do, I want you to go out and see how much you can get for it. The son looked shocked and puzzled. We don't have time for this, he admonished. Yes, son, replied the father, we do. There's always time for the most important things if we make time. Okay, shrugged the son, and he was off. He returned disappointed. He said, I finally found a watch merchant, and I thought it should be worth more, but he only offered $25. But look, Dad, I don't get it. What is this all about? What do you think of the watch now? Interrupted the father. Pshaw, disappointed in it, I guess, responded his son. Okay, well, I think it's worth more than that, so go look up a collector to see what they might offer, advised the father. The son, with an exasperated look, threw up his hands and left again. When he returned, he exclaimed, the collector said he'd pay $2,500 for this thing. I think we'd be crazy to not take this offer, don't you? Ah, we're finally getting somewhere. How did his offer change the way you feel about it? The father asked. Feel about it? The watch? Well, I was pleasantly surprised. I've never had a $2,500 watch. It's pretty cool. I guess, but what's your point, Dad? This is taking a lot of time we don't have, he blurted out. Pretty cool, you say. Well, what's the hurry? What I want you to do now is go to the museum and talk to the curator to get her opinion, directed the father. This time the son sighed loudly and rolled his eyes in protest. The father motioned to the door and gave a knowing nod. I'll be here when you get back. Just do this favor for me, he pleaded. The son returned several hours later, and as he dashed into the room, he was relieved to find that his father hadn't died. What's wrong? Asked the father, noticing that his son looked flushed and red-eyed as if he'd been crying. Well, it's kind of hard to explain right now, the son said with a sniffle. But he took a deep breath and a calmness came over him. I was really put out by your third request, Dad, but I had an inkling the watch was worth more based on your persistence. So I played along. The curator was busy and I had to wait 30 minutes, which just made me real crazy and cranky. She listened to me talk exasperated about the watch, but she also asked me about you and Granddad and the wife and kids. Finally, she asked if she could see the pocket watch. I pulled it out thinking that the $2,500 offer was going to be the best we could get. But then she gasped. She put on gloves, pulled out a velvet pad, and carefully picked up the watch. She said she'd hurry, but it was taking a painfully long time as she examined it under a microscope, looked up information on it, and then made a phone call. Then she asked me to wait a very long 10 minutes. To my surprise, the richest man in town, she told me so, strode into her office and smiled at me as they excused themselves to talk privately for a moment. When they returned to the office, she handed me a check for $250,000. I about fell off the chair, Dad. The father chuckled, coughed hard, and then asked hoarsely, now that you know its true value, how did that change you and the way you carried it or handled it? You do have the watch, don't you? Son swallowed hard and replied, well, when I first went out on your wild goose chase, I had thrust it into my pocket with my keys and coins without any thought. After the watch guy, I concluded that it was nothing special, just a very old $25 trinket. Then, frankly, when the collector offered $2,500, I thought you were doing a national treasure / Nicolas Cage test. Would I go cheap or hold out for more? After leaving, I grasped the watch fob firmly, yet still in my pants pocket, thinking it might really be worth a lot more. And after talking to the curator, it felt like stepping out of a cold shower. I was suddenly different, sober. And the watch, well, it was off the charts, and I secretly felt embarrassed at my treatment of it. The curator's intense and careful treatment of my watch in the special velvet lined padded box with a latch lid pricked my conscience. I carefully picked up the watch. I held it gently. I marveled at it. Then I was seized with fear that I might drop or lose it. So I quickly put it in the box. I closed it, got up, excused myself, getting permission for 24 hours to think it over and headed to my car. During my drive back, I instinctively cradled the box near my heart. I drove slower and I noticed everybody around me. The world slowed down. I saw everything through new eyes. And I cried. No, I wept. But it wasn't about the money, Dad. All of a sudden, I was no longer worried about not seeing you again. And all I wanted was to get home and hug my wife and kids. And with that, the son pulled the special box out of his pocket and laid it on his father's chest. The dad smiled and his eyes welled up with tears. He pulled in a long, slow breath. He said, yep, national, no intergalactic treasure. I already knew it's worth, son, but I wanted you, my treasure, to learn an important truth. I think it worked. Tell me, What truth did you learn that made a tough guy like you cry? The son chuckled and moved closer to his father. He leaned down and embraced him for a long moment. And through tear-filled eyes, he began. I realized how foolish I had been. I have heard it thousands of times, but it just didn't apply to me. It was about the importance of people versus things and stuff, especially supremely that meant the importance of my wife and children. I regretted treating my family like they were just an old $25 watch in my pocket. I also realized that the collector who offered $2,500 knew the watch had tremendous value and he was trying to hoodwink me in order to make a quick buck. It kind of slapped me in the face and made me realize how I had squandered my best days, weeks, and years out in the world trading family for money. But the curator rocked me. She made me realize I needed to slow down, take stock, and stop selling out. At that moment, the father grimaced as he sat up a bit with the box still laying on his chest. He paused and then nodded and said, "These are all good things and I commend them to you, but there's a bigger truth, isn't there?" "Dad," the son choked up, "the truth I learned is that the box is my home, but the watch is my family. I realized I could be either the watch guy, the collector, or the curator to them, and there's still time to get it right." "Yes, son, you've got it. Your family is the watch. You are the curator. The only difference is this: money can buy a watch, but no amount of money can buy a family." "I love you, son," the father whispered as he reached out and pulled his son's hands down around the box with the watch inside. They both smiled as the father wrapped his warm hands protectively around his son's. "I'll always be here, son." And with that, his father closed his eyes and breathed the last loving time. My friends, this really touched me. As I read this earlier today, I was reminded that my father, who, when he was only 3 years of age, his father passed away, and he and his mother moved into his grandfather's home, his mother's father's home. And so my great-grandfather, Dr. John Richard Sampi, who I'm named after, basically raised my dad. And many, many years ago, I remember seeing this railroad conductor's watch, an old Hamilton pocket watch, in a little glass display cart case sitting on the mantle of our home. And my father would tell me stories about his grandfather. And many, many years ago, my dad gave me that watch. And I had put it in a safe place and hadn't looked at this watch in a long, long time. I found it earlier today, and as I look at it, holding it in my hands right now, I'm reminded of my dad, I'm reminded of my great-grandfather, and I'm reminded of my family. And I testify to you that this message, tender and sweet as it is a powerful reminder that family is so important. I love my family, and I hope that each of you are able to renew, replenish, and increase the love that you have for and with your families. And I share this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.